The Guardian.
You look lost.
Oh, yeah. You're an American?
If you count Alabama's America, which I do, I'm Mr. Bathtub Gin. What do you do?
Me, I'm a writer.
What do you write?
Right now I'm working on a novel.
Oh, yes? I'm Zelda, by the way.
Hi.
Oh, Scott?
Yeah.
Scott!
Yes, what is it, sweetheart?
Here's a rider from,
A rider.
California.
Scott Fitzgerald. And who are you, old sport?
Gil. The same names as...
As what?
You know, Scott Fitzgerald and...
Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald, the Fitzgeralds. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes.
Now, as Peter Bradshaw and I were discussing earlier, Kenneth Branagh once played one of Woody Allen's lead roles in the film Celebrity. Ironic, then, that one of Branagh's own protégés, Tom Hiddleston, now finds himself playing Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris. Hiddleston was spotted by Branagh in Joanna Hogg's brilliant film Unrelated. He then played opposite Ken in BBC series Wallander before Ken cast young Hiddleston as Loki in his blockbuster Thor earlier this year. This week, Tom steps into the soft shoes of F. Scott Fitzgerald in 1920s Paris in Woody Allen's film. But his career is going stellar, both here, in the present, and in Hollywood, from where he's just come back filming blockbuster superhero mashup The Avengers. So how delightful to welcome one of Britain's hottest acting talents on the end of the line. Hello, Tom, old sport.
Thank you very much, old sport.
Now, did you do much research on getting on to F. Scott Fitzgerald? I mean, the whole kind of flannel wearing. You suit him marvellously, I have to say.
Thank you very much. Actually, strangely, I only had about 3 weeks between the end of shooting Thor and the beginning of shooting Midnight in Paris. So one of my, it's going to sound ridiculous, but one of my main concerns was trying to strip the black dye out of my hair.
It's a big concern.
It's a big concern because Woody Allen had seen my, I think he hadn't met me in person, but he'd seen some stuff I'd done before.
Well, do you know what had he seen Unrelated? Had he seen Archipelago?
I think he'd seen a cut of different things on my kind of showreel.
A little Tom montage.
A little montage there. It's a little bit of a Joanna Hogg stuff, a little bit of Cranford thrown in for good measure.
You don't want anyone to miss Cranford. But I suppose it quite helped because he probably thought, oh, period, nice, he can do that kind of gentlemanly thing. Because if he'd only seen, I don't know, Thor, for example, which I obviously wouldn't have because you'd just come for filming it.
Yeah.
But he would have thought, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know exactly what he saw, but it was very strange because I as soon as I looked Fitzgerald up, there aren't that many pictures of him, but I don't look that far away from what he must have looked like at my age.
Now, I think you were quite similar.
Yeah, sort of facial structure. Yeah. And it's a strange thing, and I had no idea that I looked like F. Scott Fitzgerald until Woody Allen told me that I did.
Well, there's not much trade in lookalike-y agencies for F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, no.
But that said, I think all of you in Midnight in Paris seem to look rather like the people that you're supposed to look like, even though I never lived in the 20s and you only get faded sepia photographs. But Zelda looks pretty Zelda-ish. Porter looks pretty Cole Porter-ish.
Yeah, well, we tried quite hard, and his hair and makeup department, his costume department, were amazing at all of this stuff, because Corey Stoll is actually, who plays Hemingway, has a lot less hair than that in real life. But actually, I think Woody had seen him in a production in New York of A View from the Bridge with Liev Schreiber and Scarlett Johansson, and in that he'd been wearing a wig too. So he was sort of like, we were all kind of picked for the right reasons. But it was a strange thing, because with Woody you have no rehearsal. You get sent your pages. I mean, people like myself and Alison Pill, who plays Zelda, and Corey, who plays Hemingway, and Adrian Brody, who plays Dali.
Dali.
Rhinoceros.
He's great, the best things he's done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Kathy Bates, I know, because we discussed it, we'd all only seen our scenes. We didn't know the whole story. And I had about a day and a half in Paris before I was due to shoot. And we were all frantically kind of sharing information. Alison Pill and I sat on the roof of our hotel reading each other Scott and Zelda's letters, just to kind of get something into our bones before we were supposed to act. Like,
yeah, I
this.
Suppose the rhythm of the time, the kind of the words. I mean, her in particular, she has that "I'm stupefied."
Yeah, stupefied, lobotomized, anesthetized.
Yeah.
I'm bored. Yeah. But it was just huge fun, and I did as much research as I could in terms of trying to get a flavour of that time, the Roaring Twenties, the Golden Age, and the hotbed of creativity that Paris must have been, and the fact that they all didn't know they were going to be icons. They were just artists who nobody had heard of particularly, who happened to be rubbing shoulders with each other. But that's the message of the film.
But I love that conceit as well. I remember Bertrand Tavernier, who was on the show when his film The Princess of Montpensier came out recently, and he was sort of, I said, oh, it's very youthful, your kind of characters, even though they're kings and queens. He said, well, you see, they don't know they're historical characters. To them, they're just young people growing up in the 16th century, so they act like young people because they've got no idea of their history. And that it's exactly what I was thinking watching you lot kind of mince about in 20th Paris. You had no idea of your own greatness. Of course, Hemingway thought he was rather fantastic.
Hemingway knew he was great at that time. Yes. Yeah.
I hope you didn't box with him.
I didn't. We watched a lot of football. The World Cup was on while we were shooting, so we did a lot of football watching.
Tom, it was only a year ago that, a year ago in a couple of days, that I sat next to you at the opening night of the London Film Festival last year, and there you were, and you were about to, you'd done Archipelago with Joanne Hogg,
yeah,
and you were about to do Deep Blue Sea with Terence Davis, which is now closing the London Film Festival this year. You hadn't been in a Woody Allen film, you hadn't been in a Steven Spielberg film, you hadn't even been low-key yet, I think, or maybe you just come back from filming it. You know, suddenly, in a year, do you know what I'm saying is that I doubt I'll be allowed to sit next to you this year.
I don't know about that, Jason. I'm sure we could arrange it if you'd like.
On your lap.
There you go. I'm not picky about who I sit next to at these occasions. It's been an amazing time. It's one of those, I'm still coming down from the mountain, or I'm still pinching myself, and I actually went back to my old drama school last night. They asked me to come back and sort of give a talk. And one of my old teachers said, so how is it that you did 4 years of theatre work with very classical material and then you've literally done six films back to back? And my honest answer is, I have no idea. Because it's just, you kind of, as actors, we're just putting one foot in front of the other and making the best of what's available on the day.
Yes, that's true. And I don't suppose you can plan that at all. As you say, you've got no idea that you can eat, but that's such a mix. I mean, you've been anything, you were low-key, but you've been nothing but low-key since. But you've been in the 50s, you've been in the 20s. I don't know when Thor was set, technically.
Thor's set now, because Natalie Portman's from right now.
Yeah, I know, but you're not. I mean, you're a Norse god.
Yeah, we're from the future.
And there are a lack of those. I'm trying to get one to do my house at the moment. You can't get a Norse god when you need one.
You need the Norse god of what? Painting and decorating?
Painting and decorating.
I'm not quite sure who that is.
Scaffolding, yes. if you get into the 50s, Rattigan, 20s, I don't even know where else you've been, but it's...
Well, I've been in 1914 for War Horse.
For War Horse, 1914. Yeah. So, in a way, what is interesting is watching you in Midnight in Paris, which is about someone who wants to live in a nostalgia shop in an old, you are the only people, you actors are actually able to do that. You are able to put on a costume and zip back and forth in time, like Ben Jonson's Alchemist. You can just curtain can fall on you, zip, and you're off.
That's an amazing way of putting it, and I'm going to steal it if I may.
You should wish you can go back to school tonight.
Yeah, I know, and say this is what I've been doing. I've been like Ben Jonson's Alchemist. Okay, do you get the reference? Thank you. It's truly a privilege to be able to do that, and I guess just to live in the shoes of, I mean, that's really what acting is living in other people's shoes for a while and seeing how the truth looks different through different eyes.
I'm gonna ask you then, like Owen Wilson's character, like the Woody character, like Midnight in Paris begs as a question, any favorite era?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would like, well, I'd love to have been around in kind of old Hollywood, you know, that sort of, to have just seen what it must have been like around, sort of when, I don't know, Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis were making Some Like It Hot. Or...
Oh, okay. Not really, or not like the art, not like Talkies Come Silent with the art, with when, you know, that film, The Artist. I don't know if you've had the privilege of seeing that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that. That looks absolutely amazing.
That would be great for you, that era. Yeah. I think with a little moustache, a little kind of princey, kind of little drawn on moustache, a little cocktail, white jacket. I see you.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there. Let's make it.
Excellent. The new David Niven, I'm going to christen you, Tom.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, that would be great. You've got to write some great autobiographies. That's the only problem with that.
That's the and he's probably written the best of all time.
Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure to watch you grow. I can't wait to. I haven't seen The Deep Blue Sea yet, and I haven't seen War Horse, obviously. And we'll hopefully.
No one's seen War Horse. No. I haven't seen it either.
It's going to be good.
I think that actually, I just saw a new trailer that they put online this morning, I have a sense that it's going to be really, truly breathtaking. I mean, the experience of shooting it was probably one of the high points, not just of my working life, but of my life.
Wow.
And working with Steven Spielberg, he's a genius and a master filmmaker and a very, very, very nice man.
Yeah, you've been hanging out with a lot of geniuses. As Woody Allen would say in Manhattan, you should hang out with some stupid people sometimes. You might learn something.
Well, it's funny because Woody's genius is much quieter than Steven's. I remember the first and only thing he said to me on my first day, Woody Allen, was, "So, Tom, you look Scotty." Thank you very much, Woody. I'll take it. I'll take it. I suppose it's better than...
Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. I'm not Scotty from Star Trek.
You look Scotty.
Brilliant. Well, I'm sure he knew him very well. Tom, you do a lovely Scott Fitzgerald. I'm sure you do a lovely martini as well. Congratulations on Midnight in Paris and on your career this year. And I'll see you around the London Film Festival, I hope.
Yeah, see you then, Jason. Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.